Okay, good to have our good crowd out today. I want to start with a few things before we get into our message. It's going to be about faithfulness. Two things I want to address that are important. One's very, very important that I can't miss here. So I was in a bank, People's Bank, a couple of months ago, and Jared got my attention, wanted me to come in there and sit down and talk to him for a minute. And when the boss asks you to sit with him, you do it. So anyway, I went and sat with him, and he told me, he said, won't you be praying for Drew? He said, Drew has, he's starting to ask questions. He's got, I think, curiosity, and he has the knowledge. He knows what salvation is, and he knows what accepting Jesus is, and he's asking questions about him, about that. And he said, I just want you to be in prayer for that. And I told him, I said, look, this is the same exact conversation that I had with Patsy, and I would say last August of 2024 about KB. Very same thing. And I told him, I said, it's not going to be a matter of if, it's going to be a matter of when. So if he would have called me or texted me the next day and said that that Drew's accepted Christ as his Savior, wouldn't surprise me at all. But I got a text last Sunday from Jared, and I asked him if it was okay if I shared, and he said yes. And this was last Sunday, about 7 o'clock, and he said, Ginger and I went to see Blair today in Murfreesboro, but this morning before we left, I had a little devotion with Drew, and after that he expressed to me his desire to be baptized and that he has prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart, and that he was a believer in Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. So, give him a hand. So we love Drew and love the family. Both sides, I would do anything for them, love them. And they're just such wonderful people and such a Christian families. So we knew that was going to happen. So what we're going to do is next Sunday, after it's over, we're going to have a baptismal service for Drew. I believe Jesse's going to come in and sing. Is that right? So is that right, Dave? So, yep. So Jesse Kimes will be here, so that's even another reason to come. So I would come for either one of those if that was the only thing going on. So I want to say this, it kind of stuck with me, and I thought about it right off the bat. You know, Drew, just like Case, heard, and just like the rest of her young people here, they've heard the gospel. It started with Leo. Leo planted the seeds. When I think about them being saved, I think about Leo. They sat under his ministry for years. There was never a doubt about what the gospel was and how you're saved, how to receive Christ. There's no doubt. So I know when Jared and Ginger shared the devotionals with Drew, they didn't have to go Google how to be saved. Or they didn't have to call a neighbor across the road. Or they didn't have to call me or somebody in the church. They knew. So, and I think that would be the case. So I'm just thankful that, and that's why I started coming here, because I know the gospel of grace was shared. I'd had enough discussions with Leo before I ever set foot in this door to know. So just thankful for Drew. Drew, we're here for you for anything you ever need. I know I can say for myself, and I can say for everybody in here and everybody in the family. So we're just so thankful. Just so thankful for you. And like I said, we'll do anything you ever need us to do for you. Now, we could stop and go home right there. But it's not your lucky day. We're not going to do that. Yeah, I know there's some people going, yes. Last Sunday, I've had something on my mind all week. So last Sunday, I came in and I sat down with Benford. Man, it was so great to see him. And he made a statement that he said, there's a lot of people in Arizona today for J.D. Vance. For Charlie Kirk. J.D. Vance is where I was going to go. Charlie Kirk, I'm sorry. And I said, I really didn't know. I knew what had happened, and we discussed it last week. I didn't realize that they were having a memorial service. Didn't even realize, and I just kind of shook my head and agreed and didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Just didn't ask. So we got, I got home, and I saw on social media where they were having a memorial, and I think Missy had actually said something about it, and it got my attention, so I looked and started, found that it was on. Couple of stations, so I flipped it over, and a praise and worship, it was going on, and it was great, but I, you know, it was a memorial, you know, a lot of politicians there, and I'm back and forth from that, football games are on and all that, so I figure there was going to be a lot of political speeches, okay? This is not about politics, I promise you, politics will never come in to what I'm saying, okay? I thought of all the speeches that I saw that were made, President Trump's was probably down toward the bottom, okay? Because I heard so much of the gospel, what we were talking about, what Drew's heard and what others were heard, and I kept thinking about Brother Leo through this. So just bear with me for a minute. So the first guy I heard, one of the guys I heard, was Rob McCoy, who was Charlie Kirk's pastor. And I'm going to tell you why I was thinking about Leo. So Rob McCoy, and I'm going to go through quotes here. Rob McCoy said, and you've got, it's on a lot of television stations, you've got hundreds of millions of people, if not billions of people that have seen all this, okay? So he said, Jesus came to this earth, was tempted in all ways, yet was without sin, was crucified upon the cross. His blood was poured out because blood must be shed for the remission of sins. There are none righteous, not even one. The Lord loves you. He wants to save you. And he gave an altar call right there on CNN, Fox, C-SPAN, all these different coverages, news coverages on. Like I said, millions and millions and millions and millions of people watching. And I'm like, uh-oh. He gave an altar call. That's great. He just shared the gospel. So you had a couple other speakers, and I turned off and turned it back, and it seems like, you know, the Lord would want me to turn it back when the right one was on. So Frank Turek spoke next, and this was Charlie Kirk's, what he called, spiritual advisor. And he said, Charlie Kirk is not in heaven because he gave his life for his Savior. He's in heaven because his Savior gave his life for Charlie. And I was like, man, you couldn't have thought about that all week and said anything any better and wrote it down. There was so much gospel there being shared. And I was like, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. So I remember Leo used to say all the time, he said, I just want to see and hear a politician or our nation's leaders get up and say, it's not about our political party, it's not about our political stance, this country needs Jesus, it's about Jesus Christ. He said, I just want to hear one say it. And he said, I've been waiting my whole life for one to say it. And I'm not talking about, well, he's a person of faith, he believes in God. He said, I want Jesus proclaimed. So Marco Rubio, in a nutshell in a minute, our Secretary of State, said this: we're all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time by the hands of the gods of the universe, of the God of the universe, big difference, capital G, an all-powerful God who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men and he died like a man. Then on the third day he rose unlike any mortal man. And then to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with the disciples so they could see and they then touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or a spirit, but as flesh. And then he rose into heaven. But he promised he would return, and he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we, speaking of Christians, we were free from the sin that separates us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we, Christians, will all be together, and we're going to have a great reunion again there with Charlie and all the people we love. This was not some peon like David Sisk saying it. This was the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, and I'm like, Leo must be in heaven just having a fit right now. He's waited his whole life, and that kept going through my mind. He just kept waiting. He was waiting for somebody to say that. Then finally, J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance said this, our vice president, second in charge, Jesus Christ was the King of Kings, and that all truth flowed through this. It is better to be persecuted for your faith than to deny the kingship of Jesus Christ, the vice president. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And there were, I saw that where people were saying, if our churches, 90% of our churches would share the gospel the way it was being shared by Pete Hegseth, by Marco Rubio, by J.D. Vance, by Rob McCoy, by Frank Turek, if they shared the gospel in churches like these individuals are doing here in front of the world, we would see a vast change in our country. And I'm just thankful. I wanted to say that because I don't think, and it's not me, it started with Leo. I don't think there's anything that they said that we would say, what's he talking about? Well, it's a new one to me. I got to check up on that one. I've not heard that before. We hear it every Sunday. And if I get up here and I don't proclaim the gospel, I've wasted a valuable opportunity that God's given me. He's given me this opportunity to get up here and proclaim the gospel Sunday after Sunday and not go down some rabbit trail somewhere else. So the gospel of Christ, Leo would say, it's all about Jesus. The cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, Cleo. There's nothing more important than the cross. And that's what we live our lives for. And I'm so glad, even like with Drew. What Drew believes and what Drew knows and what we know is the same thing that was shared here. And that's no political statement whatsoever. There's no politics involved. Okay? Now, let's go to faithfulness. So you don't have to turn to Galatians. I said this, I wouldn't do it because we turned to Galatians 5:22. If you want to turn, that's fine. But we've read from it the last few weeks. We got one more left after this, and that's self-control. But Galatians 5:22, you don't have to turn, says, but this fruit of the Spirit is love, is peace, is joy, is forbearance, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. So today is faithfulness. Okay? Now, I think about Leo again because I would always hear him use the Greek on these words. Okay? So, and I'm going to do that. The Greek for faith, faithfulness, is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. Oh, man, I've heard him say that word. That's the one Greek word I know, Ken. So, this noun can mean faith, belief, or trust. But in certain contexts, it also refers to faithfulness, reliability, and steadfast commitment. So, when I am asked to be faithful, and not only asked, it's saying that because you're a Christian, faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You are to be faithful. I am to be reliable. I am to be faithful. I am to be trustworthy. Okay? Now, it describes the trustworthiness and reliability of God or a person, indicating someone is dependable. Okay? Then we have pistos, the adjective. that translates directly to faithful. And it describes someone who is steadfast, trustworthy, reliable, capable of being counted on. So, you know, you hear people say all the time, I would say the older generation, but I'm the older generation now, so I can't say that anymore. But you would hear people say back in the day, a man's word was his bond. You didn't sign contracts. You shook on it. And if I shook on something with somebody, we had our pact right there. We had our contract right there. Why? Because my word was my bond. If I said it, I was going to do it. I was reliable. I was faithful. I was dependable. And when I shook on it, I trusted that individual that he was going to be a man of his word. And we hear it all the time. He was going to be faithful to his word. I spoke with an individual in Charlotte early last week, last Monday. He told me on Friday, he said, call me Monday. And I know he's a busy person. And I said, I appreciate you taking time with me. And he said, I'm a man of my word. So faithful. I told you to call me Monday. I trusted. So I called him. I knew he would answer the phone. He answered it. And he said, I'm a man of my word. So the faithfulness. Now, the fruits of the Spirit are traits of the Trinity. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit for us, but it's traits of the Trinity. Everything here, forbearance, long-suffering, kindness, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, these are things that Jesus had. These are things that God has. These are things that the Holy Spirit has. It says, be Christ-like. Well, how are we Christ-like? We do this because this was what Jesus Christ possessed in every part of his being. Okay? He was constantly faithful. So faithful means you're doing what you're going to do. Faith means taking someone at their word. We take God at his word to do what he says he will do. What is faith? Les Feldick used to say this all the time, and he, in common everyday language, he put faith where we could all understand it, and he nailed it on the head. Faith is trusting God to do what he says he's going to do. That's faith. So, as God is faithful, what's he saying? Look, you've got the Bible, you've got all these promises, you've got all these, that what I said I will do for you. And we have faith in his faithfulness. Now he's going to execute that he's going to do it. Everything that God said or Jesus said they were going to do, I trust it. I have faith in it. That is part of being faithful, okay? So I have faith in God's faithfulness. Now, if God's faithful, that means he continuously does it. He's steadfast. He's trustworthy. He doesn't stop. He continues to do it. God blesses us every day. I wake up every morning and say, Lord, thank you for your blessings. I don't deserve any of it. I think we all do. Every day. He didn't stop. He didn't say, well, you know, I blessed you for this long. I'm going to stop. He doesn't. It's every day. You can't count them. It's just overflowing. Judy's smiling. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. I think we all do. Now, there's God's faithfulness and there's our faithfulness. I want to look at God's faithfulness first. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So what are we going to have faith in? And what are we going to be faithful to? So we're going to have God's faithfulness and we're going to have our faithfulness. So I'm going to look at both. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Dave Ferry, I hope there's three verses, not like last week in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If it's not, I'm in trouble. I think God's are pretty good. Okay, so 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3. Finally, brothers and sisters, this is Paul speaking to the church of Thessalonica. Pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it was also with you. And that we will be rescued from troublesome and evil people. So Paul's going through it. It's a unique prayer. Pray that I will be rescued from troublesome and evil people. So there's something, it's not easy to be faithful. Paul's not saying, man, I've got it made. Life's so good. Paul's just going through, we can't even imagine what Paul goes through. So when we go through all these trials and all these problems and life was coming at us in waves, man, Paul went through, we're only going through an nth of what Paul went through. Now, he says, for not all have the faith. These troublesome and evil people don't have it. Now here we go, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So God's faithfulness will protect us from the evil one and from those who are troublesome and evil, who might not want the best things for us, who might even be a danger to us. But life's like that too. We've got all these things coming on us. And Paul says the Lord is faithful to strengthen and protect us from that. Reminds me of the verse. God will not give you any more than you're able to bear. As bad as it is, as bad as things might seem in certain situations, God is with us. He will protect us. He will strengthen us through that. And I trust that. I have faith in that. I have faith in God's faithfulness that he will continually do that. He didn't say once or twice, I know I got you through this situation, but this one's too big. There is no too big with God. There's no too big. He will protect us through it all. He will strengthen us. We just got to stay in him. We have to have faith. Now, when my faith wanders and I get outside of that and I panic, then it's a different ball game. Okay? God has to work sometimes despite me, not with me. Okay? Now, turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. God's faithfulness. Now here he's talking about the Jewish individuals who have had all the blessings of the Old Testament. They've had the law, they've had the covenants, they've had the Torah, they've had the Word of God, which was not available for the rest of the world. So he's saying, start out here, they've had, because they're Jews, they've had spiritual advantages. So Romans 3, 1 through 4. Then what advantage does the Jew have? Or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. First, they were entrusted with the actual words of God. So they were entrusted with the actual words of God. Okay? What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? Far from it. Was everyone who was given the actual words of God in the Old Testament, who were children of Israel, who were under the covenants, who were under all this, were they actually living in faith? No, they weren't. All those ones who left Israel, or left Egypt rather, okay, and wandered out in the wilderness, left Pharaoh, they were slaves, they weren't living in faithfulness. And they took, it didn't take anything for them to whine and moan and gripe and woe is me, and they're worshiping other gods, and they build a golden calf, and they're saying, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt to die? And they're questioning God, and they turned against God, and Moses goes to God and says, you got to do something, they're getting ready to kill me. Okay, but he gives them what? He gives them water out of the rock. He gives them manna. He gives them milk and honey. He gives them a shade by the cloud by day. He gives them fire by night. All these miracles. Parts the Red Sea. If I parted, saw the Red Sea parted, that'd be enough for me right there. But it's not 5 minutes later. They're griping again. No faith. But you know, I would do. They're no different than me. Why do I think I'm any better? Look at what all God's done for me. He's faithful. And I do the same thing. And God's faithful to me despite that. So he says, listen, just because they have unbelief, that does not nullify the faithfulness of God. Cleo and I were talking on Sunday when I was not a Christian, he was not a Christian, all the times that the Lord took care of us through that to get us to where we are now, Cleo. And I think we can all say that. Far from it. Rather, God must prove to be true, though every person be found a liar. What he's saying here is we all are like the children of Israel. But God's true to his word. He says God is true because he said what he's going to do, and he's never wavered, and he's never backed down, and there's never been a moment that we can't trust him. Ever. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll stay in 2 Timothy quite a bit, so you might just want to put a tab there, put your thumb there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 11 through 13. Now remember, we're talking about the faithfulness of God. So we had spoken about 2 Timothy last week. Timothy's base, or Paul's basically his last days of death row here. Okay? He's on his last days of death row. So he's speaking to Timothy to continue his ministry, continue in the faith. So verses 11 through 13. And Paul says, "For if we also died with him with Christ, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we will deny him, he will deny us." Now that doesn't mean after you're a Christian or all that, he's saying if you don't accept him, he's not going to accept us. Okay? That's the parameters. Now, but get this. But if we are faithless, see, one minute he says if we deny him, he will deny us. We're not Christians there. Okay? But once we have, he says, even if we are faithless, it looks like he's contradicted, but he's not. Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. All the times I come up short and it's, "Oh, ye a little faith," and I don't meet the mark, does God quit blessing me? Does God go back on his word? Does God ever put an asterisk there that just because your faith is low or you're faithless or you're not where you're supposed to be or you're in a dry spell, that I'll stop? He never does. God's faithful despite me. I get in the way. Okay? There's one thing, faith, faithfulness, God, and David Sisk. There's one thing right there that's imperfect, and it's David Sisk. That's it. Okay? So he's working, he's faithful despite me once again. That's God's faithfulness. Now, we are to have that faithfulness. You look at what God does despite me. As Charlie has said, we have the vertical grace and then the horizontal grace. Our horizontal grace needs to be like God. We're faithful to others even when they're not. It's tough. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. We've spoken about that. Unbelievers do not diminish the faithfulness of Christ. Ignorant Christians do not hinder his faithfulness. God is always faithful to keep his word and his promises to the body of Christ. He is our hope in glory. Now, we have, as Christians, there's four types of faithfulness for us. Okay? Number one, we're faithful as ministers. Number two, we're faithful to doctrine. Number three, we're faithful to the Lord. And number four, we're faithful to continue. Now let's look at faithful as ministers. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter. I tell you what. Stay in Timothy. Then we'll go 1 Corinthians. Sorry. Let's go 1 Corinthians. But stay in. Keep a finger there in Timothy. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Faithful as ministers. My old buddy Lehman used to say all the time, "Hey, preacher," and I'd go, "Cleo, I'm not a preacher. Lehman, I'm not a preacher." And he'd say, "We're all ministers. If you're saved, we're all ministers." Now Cleo's taking up the torch. Okay? Now, my old buddy Cleo. All right. So, but Lehman's right. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. This is the way any person is to regard us. So if you're a believer, you're a Christian, this is the way anybody out there in the world, saved or unsaved, this is the way they're to regard us. This is the way people need to see us, okay? Each one of us. We are servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. So we're servants of Christ and His Word, His doctrines of grace. He can trust that with us. We'll believe it. We'll be true to it. We'll share it. We won't defile it and believe other things. Okay? He's given that to us. So that's the way the world is to see it. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Now you say, hold on, I don't have a seminary degree. I don't know as much about the Bible as I need to have. I get kind of nervous talking to people. I don't have a lot of confidence. None of that matters. Paul says, you need to have one thing. You need to be trustworthy. As a Christian, God needs to be able to trust me that I will be a servant of His and I will be a steward of the Word of God. That's the only thing He requires. That I be faithful, that I be trustworthy. That God, I know I can trust God. Can God trust me? That's the question. Okay? Now we're also faithful to doctrine. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14. Now remember, Timothy came up as a youngster in Paul's ministry with his family. So he understood and he knew what he'd been taught, just like young people here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14. So Paul's, like I said, this is the last time he's going to talk to Timothy. He's trying to make sure that he gives Timothy all the direction he needs to continue this. And he says, you, Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So what you've learned, what you know, continue in it. Be faithful. Continue in it. You've done it so far, don't stop. Don't stop. Continue. Go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Titus is toward the end. Titus is kind of like driving through Clifton. If you blink while you're trying to find it, you'll miss it. So, I'll give you a second. This is the one you pull out when you're trying to beat somebody at Bible swords when you was a kid. So Titus 1:9. Okay? Holding firmly to the faithful word. So we're to hold firm to God's word. Okay? Which is in accordance with the teaching. So as we've been taught, we know what the word is. We know what is true. We are to be faithful to that. That's a faithful word. We are to hold to that. Hold firmly. So that we will be able to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict it. We're able to share the word. We know what the word says. And then if we have others that come into the church, or we have others that are trying to get the individuals in the church and they tell them something else, we're able to help these individuals and refute that because we know what the word is. We're to be faithful to that. Okay? Faithfulness to the truth is greater than popularity, than numbers, than esteem. 2 Timothy is the manual on faithfulness. I'll say this. I would rather have a church this size, be in a church this size, and I'm not talking about from my standpoint up here. I'm talking about if I'm sitting down there where you were at when Leo was here. I would rather have a church this size than being in a church with 10,000 where it's one gimmick after another. It's cotton candy, it's ice cream, it's balloons, it's rainbows. It's just one gimmick after another to get one in, and there's nothing to it. It's entertainment. I'd rather be here. I mean, I can stay home and watch TV, you know, and do if I want to be entertained, you know? So we're to not worry about those things, okay? Now, 2 Timothy, there's in the four chapters there, 1 through 4, there's four themes. Number one, the first chapter, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord and Paul. Don't be ashamed of it. This is part of being faithful. It's easy to be ashamed of something, okay? What people are going to think, that hinders our faithfulness. He says, don't be ashamed. Chapter 2. Be faithful to the profitable words. What the Bible says, what we know it says, be faithful to that. Chapter 3, be perfect in the word. Purge error and avoid false teaching and teachers. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:16, which we read, is a perfect example of that. And number 4, be instant. You know, he talks about being instant in season and out of season. So we're constant. We're consistent, okay? Be instant, pressing, earnest. Not in front of other people, even when we're alone. Now that can be tough. Nobody else is watching, okay? But be consistent even when you're by yourself. A good and faithful servant is true and faithful to Christ and the word of grace, okay? Now, faithfulness to the Lord. That's another one. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Go there. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Faithfulness to the Lord. So we're to be faithful as ministers. And if you're a Christian, you're a minister. Faithful to doctrine and faithfulness to the Lord. That's the first thing we think of. When we're saved, most of us probably when we prayed, we said, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to follow you. I won't turn back. I love you. I want to be faithful. I want to be a faithful Christian and live a Christian life. Okay? So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Now this is Paul, who called himself the chief of sinners. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was previously a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Do you know that what we can do, one thing that might hurt our faithfulness is we can go back and look at what we were before we were Christians? And you can say, well, how can I go talk to so-and-so when they know how I used to act? And it'll make you skittish. I know this for a fact. I can tell you myself. Okay? Don't trust me on this one, okay? It can make you skittish on that. They may think I'm a hypocrite, or they will. Or they'll say, hey, I know what you used to do. Well, Paul said, look, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a murderer. I killed those in the church. It didn't come any worse than me. And Paul was the greatest missionary, the greatest evangelist that we've ever had. Okay, he set the tone for all this. But what did he say? He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me, and he'll strengthen us, because he considered me faithful despite all this, putting me into service. I am so thankful that God does not look into my past. God, not only are we saved, we take on Christ's righteousness the second we become a Christian. We need to look at ourselves when we're talking about how do we share, what kind of Christian we need to be. A lot of times we're ineffective Christians just because we don't have confidence and we're meek. See yourself, and I've said this over and over, see yourself as God sees you. He sees you as Christ's righteousness. The cross was enough. The cross covered every sin, past, present, and future. Covered everything. So that's how God sees us. So The past is irrelevant. If it's irrelevant to God, that's good enough for me. It ought to be irrelevant to me. Our current faithfulness has nothing to do with our past life. That is not how God sees us. And I'll hear somebody, and you hear the world say it all the time, talking about somebody who is not a Christian or is a Christian, and they'll say, but they used to do this. And they did this. And the world's all about works. They don't know grace. So if they don't know grace, they judge you by works. And where do they go? Past life. God's about grace. God is about covenants in Christ's blood and His righteousness. So we are faithful to the Lord because we are Christ's righteousness. That no matter what our past is, it's about the now. We can be an effective witness and we can be faithful to the Lord now. Finally, last one. Faithfulness to continue. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Faithfulness to continue. Philippians, and I've said this over and over, Philippians is not an easy read. Philippians, you can read Colossians and you can read Ephesians and you go, oh man, I have all these blessings. Boy, I'm just waiting for somebody to drop $1 million off of my doorstep because I'm a Christian. I'll wake up and there'll be a Cadillac in my driveway tomorrow. Man, this is going good. And then you read Philippians and you're, oh Lord, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Philippians, I heard Alan Jackson this morning, not the singer, preacher, in Murfreesboro. And he was talking about our walk and Abraham. And he said, you know, Abraham, he said, I can imagine me going to my wife. All right, let's pack up and go. Where are we going? I don't know. Well, where are we going to? I don't know. We'll know when we get there. And all these things he had to go through, his family gets taken hostage a lot, and his family, and he's got to get a bunch of his servants together, and they've got to go attack them by night, and they're constantly fighting these others, and he had it made where he was at. And he said, I wonder how many times Abraham said, this is not what I signed up for. Well, it's a lot like that as Christians in our life, but we're to be faithful, okay? Faithfulness to continue. So Philippians 1, verse 3 through 6. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. And that's the way we should be. And now get this. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. So from day one until now, they have been faithful. Okay? But what if they decided to stop there? What good would that do? They've been faithful. Paul's bragging on them. But what if they just stop? For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. What's Christ Jesus? This is coming. That by that day, He will empower you to keep moving on. When it's tough, you've done good so far, but you say, I don't know how much farther I can go on. It's tough. No. God will give us the strength and the power to go on for as long as we're here. So the Lord calls us home, that we can continue that. Now, as a coach, I can give you an example. We always told our players, and it doesn't matter if it's basketball, baseball, football, and everybody in here that's played sports can tell you this. You must finish. You've got to finish. You put yourself in position to win the game. You've got to finish the game. That's what winning teams do. I watch a lot of teams, you see them who lose, and they're right there week after week after week, and they're down in a football game by 3 points, and they've got the ball, and they cannot make the play to win, and it's in their heads. It's week after week after week after week. The good teams finish. They get to the fourth quarter, they put themselves in position, they finish the game. Okay? Now, Paul talks about that. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. So you say, man, I've done good so far. Well, game's not 1.5. Game's not 1.75. It's a 60-minute game. You got to finish that last play, all right, to be faithful. Now, I'm not talking about for salvation. We're talking about faithful servants of Christ, and as a Christian, being what the Lord wants us to be. I can't imagine coming down to the end and having these words said. I couldn't imagine there being better words that someone could say about you. But you know, in all honesty and reality, this is my take on me. I know what I've done. 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 7. This is Paul. He's come down to the very end. And they used this verse last week in the memorial. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Faithful from day one to the very last day. And Paul could say that. Didn't matter if I was whipped. Didn't matter if I was starved. Didn't matter if I was in prison. I never turned away from it. I was faithful. What is faithful? God could trust me. Paul, that's what he's saying. I did what I said I was going to do, and God could trust me till the very end. Was it easy? No, it was a fight. It was a fight. It's a fight. Okay? A lot of times, you say, well, I have to fight the devil. And hey, a lot of times, I got to fight David Sisk. I got to fight myself. That's the fight. Okay? I finished. I went to the very end. I finished strong, but I kept the faith. I was faithful to the end. And I quote Justin Jackson a lot, and I'll close with this. He says, the Lord has provided our salvation. He's equipped us with manifold wisdom. We're given that when we're saved. We have the Word of God. The only thing that is needed from us is faithfulness to do His stated will. The only thing that's needed for me to be an effective Christian, like I said, you may say, I don't know the Bible like some other people. I don't have a PhD in theology. I'm not a good speaker. I have trouble approaching people. Look, all you need is to be faithful. You trust God. That He can trust. God has told us what He's going to do. I trust that. And then by doing that, I know that He can trust me. Okay? Faithfulness. Am I faithful? Well, you say, I've dropped the ball here. Well, congratulations. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. We can pick it up and we can go from here. We talked about a ball game. Teams fall behind all the time. They'll fall behind. I saw a team yesterday. They said it was the biggest comeback. I think it was Georgia Tech. Biggest comeback they'd ever had. They were down 17-0. They came back and won a game. They didn't quit. They just came back. They kept fighting. They were fight toward the end, and then they make the last play of the game, and they win. Faithful. Keep going. Keep pressing. Keep doing. Keep living for God. Martha Joe.